Sunday was made to benefit man, not man to benefit Sunday. The other day I was over in Midland, and we lived there for 7 years, and yet there are those times, and you may have had that this experience, where I turned into a one-way street. And it's embarrassing, you know, when people honk at you or give you dirty looks, let alone the fact that it's really scary because you could cause a terrible accident. Well, I want to tell you that God has a clear one-way street for living out your life. What does our sign read?
Believe in me and serve me.
That's it. That's the one-way street. And that's what observing Sunday is all about. It's rediscovering God and rediscovering our neighbor. To understand Sunday worship in any other way is as self-defeating as driving on against traffic. Now, some might think, come on, Pastor, it seems to me that those who pay little attention, no attention to God or neighbor, seem to be the most successful people around. Those who pay no attention to Sunday worship seem to be rather happy people. My goodness, they're out on their boat. They're fixing up the yard. Seems like happiness. There's a folk tale that goes this way. A king who was very unhappy had asked a wise man how to find happiness. And the man told him, find the happiest man in your kingdom and borrow his shirt and wear it. So the king went out all through his kingdom, and finally he found a woodcutter that seemed to be extremely happy. The king explained the reason for his search, and he asked the woodcutter for his shirt. But the man didn't own a shirt. The truth then dawned on the king that possessions and position do not necessarily bring happiness. Yet, many in his kingdom thought they would be happy if only they had everything the king had. Appearances can be deceiving. Things are not always what they seem. Take the Pharisees in our text. They knew about God. Ideally, knowing about God should enrich a person's faith, but it doesn't always work that way. Some folks who are very knowledgeable about things of God and the church drift away. Things are not always as they seem. Knowledge is not the same thing as faith. When the Hebrews talk about knowing God, the term knowing is meant to be personal, firsthand, a firsthand relationship with another, not information about another. To know God means a personal relationship. Faith is more than knowledge. There's a certain dilemma presented in our text today, and one that we should wrestle with. Perhaps your immediate response to Jesus' words, "The Sabbath was created to benefit man," you might be thinking, "Well, Pastor, why don't you just save your sermon for those who aren't here today? You can tell it's important to us. We're here." But when we start thinking that way, we need to remember Jesus was addressing church members of his day in the synagogue. It's true. Those who worship when it benefits their schedule need to evaluate their faith response. But it's also meant for us who are sitting in the pews. It's for us who are sitting in the pews because worship ought to be a joyous experience that is then reflected in the way we live out our worship. That has a lot to do with our getting ready to worship. Is our Sunday morning really a rather hectic experience? That when we do go on vacation, we breathe a sigh of relief that we left the church at home with all those other things that clutter our life? As adults, our actions do speak very loud to our children. Question, how did your parents prepare the family for Sunday worship? And was Sunday looked upon as a very special day? If you didn't have, you weren't raised that way, in which Sunday was special and there was preparation, you need to pay attention to our older generation here, but not just older generation. Be really pay attention to everyone here. Because at any circumstance that arises where anyone here has a hard time or impossible to be here for certain circumstances, and they finally return back, listen to what they've got to say, how much they have missed being here to worship their God and to be together with family. Worship enables us to develop a lifestyle, to be people of God. Faith is more than knowledge. It is a lifestyle. A person of faith is not a gossip, but looks for the best in others. A person of faith knows that life will not always be easy, but knows God gives us what we need when it is our weakest time in our life. That second lesson from Paul is right on. It one should be memorized, because when we step into the most weak time of our life, that's the proclamation. We are not defeated. We might be beat up, but we are not defeated. A person of faith does not know worship as just one more thing to do, but worship is a time to gather in thankfulness. The Pharisees tithed, they prayed regularly, they debated church policies, and generally regarded as the most religious of all folks. At least that's the way they saw themselves. Rules, regulations, giving of our offering are good if centered on God and not ourselves. Worship becomes a priority when we understand there's a difference. There's a difference between believing in a God and believing in God. To say that you believe in a God doesn't cost you anything. To say that you believe in a God doesn't have you go anywhere or do anything. How familiar is this statement? I'm sure you've heard this from someone. I believe in a God, I just worship him in my own way. What's really being said? Here, in case of emergency, if you hit an occasional bump in the road, which you can't handle, it might be convenient to have God, a God, in your back pocket. My friends, a God in your hip pocket is not God at all. Believing in God is different. To believe in God says God is in control. To believe there is a God, you want to be in control, and you'd really try hard. The purpose of our coming together is to get our eyes off ourselves and our eyes on God and our neighbor. St. Augustine said it well. In each person there is a God-shaped vacuum, and nothing can fill that vacuum but God. The Pharisees tried to fill that vacuum through their empty rituals. They tried to shape God into their image, and Jesus called them blind fools. The challenge Jesus gave to the church of his day is the one for us. God wants to fill our lives. He created the Sabbath as a time for nurturing, nourishing, time to be equipped to send us out back into the world. As you leave here today, where will you spend next Sunday morning? Now, I realize this is summertime, okay? This is summertime. And when you're on vacation, if you just let me know, I can tell you where every Lutheran church is in the United States. And I got the address. As you leave here today, where will you spend next Sunday morning? Time for preparing for worship next Sunday begins today. Amen.